Will the House please come to order? Will members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to indicate their presence by voting? Will the clerk please take the roll?
30 members present.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Herman is excused from the call of the House today.
Will the members please rise for the invocation by Father William Dibb, Catholic Mission House of Prayer.
Lord, it is not hard to praise you in the radiance and beauty of this day, and we thank you for it and for all of the blessings that you have given each of us. Bless our coming together this morning, and with your gracious assistance, may we make diligent and full use of the gift of time that you give us, mindful of our accountability for it, and of all of the other gifts that you give us. Grant, Lord, that wisdom, equity, and justice may govern our actions and decisions this day in behalf of all who make their home in this great Northland. And may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit come upon each of you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Representative Martin.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent to pray a brief spread on the journal.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the prayer will be spread on the journal. Will the clerk please certify the journal for the 107th legislative day?
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 107th day.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 107th legislative day be approved as certified by the chief clerk.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Are there guests for introduction? Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, a very welcome guest this morning. Sitting in gallery B with Patricia Mealy of Joe Flood's office, Representative Flood's office, is Sandy Cox of Corvallis, Oregon, and Sandy is Jack McBride's daughter.
Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a list of close-up students with me today in Gallery B. I would like them to stand, and also the teacher is Bernice Cubberson from Atkusuk, Carla Sims from Katovic, Will Stevens from Barrow, Alice Tickluck from Katovic, James Nuguk from Barrow, Walter Oyuguk from Nuuksuk, Penny Pearson from Katovic, Violet Atungunuk from Point Hope, Abraham Kawana from Point Hope, Florence Antalak from Point Hope, and Ashley Savak. Let's welcome from North Slope.
Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, from the Lower Kuskokwim School District, I have a bunch of close-up students, and we'll give the English names for the villages today. Donna Moore, who is a teacher from Quinnahawk, Nellie Moses from Tuxuk Bay, Sharon DeMantle from Tulluksak. She's in Representative Hurlburt's district. Thank you, sir. Paul Pitka from Tununuk, Frank Pleasant from Quinnahawk, Viola Smith from Macoyuk, Kimberly Weston from Macoyuk, Raymond Turchik from Tuxuk Bay, Robert Wolf, a teacher from Atmaslik, Patrick Black from Napakiak, Sarah Jenkins from Atmaslik, Daniel Waska from Atmaslik, Mary Fry from Atmaslik, Wassily Nick from Tuntutuliak, Lily Joseph from Tuntutuliak, Peter Joseph from Tuntutuliak, and Sharon DeMantle. Please help me welcome them.
Representative Robert.
Thank you. I have a couple of my staff sneaked in here. Doug Carney from over in my country, and Betty, she's the secretary. She's at hand.
Representative Wente.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Over the last week, we've had visiting us from Metlakatla an RSVP student, Bill Savage.
Further guests for introduction? Messages from the governor?
Dear Representative Hayes, I have signed the following and am transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's office for permanent filing. Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 39 Finance relating to services for pregnant women, Chapter 37, SLA 1984. Signed sincerely, Bill Sheffield, Governor. I have no further messages from the Governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate?
The Senate approved the following citations and they've been enrolled: honoring the Alaska Elks Lodge number 420, honoring Little Norway Festival, and honoring the Lutheran Eskimo Missions. The Senate passed and returned Committee Substitute for House Bill 535, State Affairs, purchase of group life insurance by former state employees and others. This bill has been sent to enrolling. The Senate passed the following and they are transmitted for consideration. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 301, Resources, by the Resources Committee, an act relating to fur bearer management and increasing related license fees and providing for an effective date.
Resources Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 301 is referred to the Resources and Finance Committees.
Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 375, Resources, by the Resources Committee, an act relating to land disposal and management and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Finance Committees.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Other communications?
I have none, Mr.
Speaker. Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Judiciary has had Senate Bill 95, requiring that certain legislative officers file statements of financial interests under consideration, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Bussell, Chairman, concurred in by Liska, Barnes, Hayes, Malone, and Bussell. Clarkson has no recommendation. Senate Bill 95 has no further referral. The Committee on Hess has had Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 384, Hess, relating to food banks under consideration, recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Ms. Tischer, Chairman, concurred in by Tischer, Euling, Martin, Davis, Kopanen, Gall, and Pestinger. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 384 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Joint Resolution 72, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to the Alaska Railroad under consideration, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Bussell, Chairman, concurred in by Barnes, Liska, and Hayes, signing do not pass, Malone, having no recommendation, Clarkson and Bussell. House Joint Resolution number 72 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 347, Licensing of Practitioners of Naturopathic Medicine, under consideration, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 347, Finance, with a new title, recommends it do pass, and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Adams, Bedesworth, Martin, Furness, Grusendorf, and Jaroff, having no recommendation, Lindauer and Duncan. House Bill 347 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 480, Adoption and Expiration of a Regulation, under consideration and recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Adams, Bedesworth, Furness, Grusendorf, Hurlburt, Ward, and Fritz, having no recommendation, Martin, Lindauer, Duncan, and Jaroff. House Bill 480 has no further referral. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 546, Harassment of Persons Lawfully Engaged in Hunting, Fishing, or Trapping, under consideration, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 546, Resources, with a new title, and recommends it do pass with an attached amendment. The report was signed by Mr. Bussell, Chairman, concurred in by Liska, Hayes, Barnes, and Bussell, having no recommendation, Malone and Clarkson. House Bill 546 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 649, Minimum Monthly Retirement Benefit under the Teachers' Retirement System, under consideration, and recommends it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Bedesworth, Grusendorf, Furness, Duncan, Jaroff, Ward, and Hurlburt. Adams and Martin have no recommendation. House Bill 649 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 661, Acquisition, Construction, Equipping, and Maintenance of Toll Facilities Funded by Revenue Bonds and Providing Toll Collection Authority, under consideration, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 661, Transportation, with a new title, and recommends it do pass and attaches a new fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Adams, Bedesworth, Martin, Furness, Hurlburt, Ward, Fritz, and Lindauer, having no recommendation, Grusendorf, Duncan, and Jaroff. House Bill 661 has no further referral. The Committee on Labor and Commerce has had House Bill 716 relating to the Board of Pharmacy under consideration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 716, Labor and Commerce, with the same title, recommends it do pass and attaches a physical note. The report was signed by Mr. Cowdery, Chairman, concurred in by Cowdery, Pestinger, Euling, Furness, Ringstead, Kopanen, and Wente. House Bill 716 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees.
The House Special Committee on State Loans has had House Bill 620 relating to the Alaska Industrial Development Authority under consideration. Reports it back as follows. The report was signed by the, Mr. Euling, Chairman, signing Dupass, Kopanen, and Wente, having no recommendation, Euling and Pestinger. House Bill 620 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. I have no further special committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation honoring Spirit Days 1984, Cook Inlet Native Association 20th Anniversary by Representative Szymanski. Citation honoring David Toma by Representatives Wente, Barnes, and Bessel.
Representative Wente.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that the citation honoring David Toma be brought up as a special order of business.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is before us as a special order of business. Will the clerk please read the citation?
Citation honoring David Toma by Representatives Wente, Barnes, and Bessel.
Representative Wente.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that all members of the House be shown as co-sponsors.
Is there objection? Hearing none, all other members of the House will be shown as co-sponsors. Representative Wente.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that the citation honoring David Toma be approved.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is approved. Clerk, have further citations or resolutions?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of bills.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill number 511 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act making appropriations for the operating and capital expenses of state government and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Finance has had the bill under consideration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 511 Finance with the same title, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Adams, Bettesworth, Furness, Hurlburt, Fritz, Grusendorf, Martin, and Lindauer, having no recommendation, Duncan and Jaroff. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes, excuse me, Representative Duncan. House, please stand at ease.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May we revert to introduction of guests, please?
Without objection, we'll revert to introduction of guests. Representative Jaroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, I have three young ladies. Two of them are down here visiting, and one is my life support system here in Juneau. The two young ladies that are visiting us from Kodiak this morning, Stacy Hegland and Yvonne Jaroff, who is my youngest daughter, who decided to rough it out at home. Both in Gallery A. And accompanying the two young ladies is another young lady, my wife, Yvonne.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent to Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 511 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the Finance Committee substitute is adopted in lieu of the original bill. Clerk does have amendments. Will the clerk please read the first amendment?
Amendment number 1 by Phillips and Locker, page 10, line 22. After municipal assistance, delete $70,500,000 and insert $90,400,000 and adjust appropriation and general fund amounts accordingly. It has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk.
Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of Amendment Number 1.
There is objection. Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, on your desk, each member has a memo from the representative behind me, from Matt Sue and myself, plus a copy of the resolution as passed by the Anchorage caucus, and I might add it passed unanimously about 3 or 4 weeks ago, plus an information sheet by the Alaska Municipal League relating to the Municipal Assistance Program, and a fact sheet where the monies are going to each municipality or organized area of the state. Mr. Speaker, we have, in my opinion, a moral obligation to fully fund the Municipal Assistance Program, which I might state is an amount equal or greater than 30% of the income tax revenues received by the state under AS 43-20-011E. Mr. Speaker, the Municipality of Anchorage, the borough, or the Municipal Assembly, and the Mayor of Anchorage support the full funding of municipal assistance, as various other organized communities around the state, including the Municipal League. Mr. Speaker, if we do not fully fund the program, it's my fear that my constituents and the people, taxpayers, and I mean taxpayers, property taxpayers within the municipality of Anchorage, will probably pay a higher tax rate without this funding. This funding would either reduce the tax locally or maintain it to last year's level. What we're asking here is the to increase the funding a little less than $20 million and fully fund this program.
Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I oppose the amendment that is offered, Amendment Number 1. I'd like to go back in history. In FY80, the state spent a total of $27 million for revenue sharing and $11 million for municipal assistance. This, at that time in FY80, was $38 million. For FY85, the House has approved $70.5 million for municipal assistance and almost $58 million for revenue sharing, a total this year of approximately $128 million for municipal assistance revenue sharing. Since FY80, we have created several new programs to address problems in communities across the state, such as daycare programs, domestic violence programs. We have increased our effort in alcoholism programs. We have increased our efforts in all sorts of social services programs. We have increased our efforts in tourism substantially in the past few years because that brings revenue in individual communities throughout the state. We have worked with communities across the state to fund their priority capital program, and the list goes on. In the past couple of years, Mr. Speaker, I've heard municipalities and mayors that testify before us in House Finance say that they need to know the state will be providing with them a stable source of income. I believe that that is exactly what the House is doing, and in this case, the governor has requested this amount of money, 70.5. I think the House and the governor is working together to try to provide a stable source of income. I believe that the House has put together a fiscal responsible budget for municipal assistance, and I think that communities across the state should do the same thing. It states in that particular law that was stated by my good friend from Eagle River on the statute, it just says may appropriate. We have appropriated approximately 78% of that 30%, and I think that's sufficient funds for municipal assistance. I urge members to vote against this amendment.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, lest there be any doubt that this is a bipartisan effort, I want to rise to agree with my Republican colleague to my left over here and say that in this budget, we're falling way short in a number of areas, but one of the most grievous shortages is in this area. Speaker, I've never understood how we can stand up on this floor and view with great alarm when somebody outside of the legislature does not follow the intent and letter of the statutes. And yet when the statutes set a formula in motion and say that we should be funding at a certain level, suddenly that statute doesn't count. Mr. Speaker, my colleague spoke exactly true when he hit on the point that what we're talking about here is property taxes. By voting at this underfunded municipal level, as required by the statutes, we are raising property taxes all across this state. And nobody should have any doubts about that. It takes so much money to operate a municipality, just like it takes so much money to operate this state. And when we don't give them enough money, when we don't give them what they're entitled to under the statutes, we are raising property taxes. And the members who vote against this amendment are voting for increased property taxes all across the state. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wanted to just give some information along the lines of how much we may be raising property taxes across the state per individual municipalities, because that's exactly correct. Minority Leader is correct. That's what we're doing. When we short fund at a level of $20 million, that impacts each and every municipality. For example, Mr. Speaker, of that $20 million, $20.4 million shortfall, nearly $9.5 million would go to the municipality of Anchorage. $9,451,000, to be exact, Mr. Speaker, would go to the municipality of Anchorage. That's money that won't be going to your municipality, Mr. Speaker, if you don't approve this amendment. To the Fairbanks North Star Borough, Mr. Speaker, $1,500,000. To the Kenai Peninsula Borough, $850,000. To Matsu, $994,000. Mr. Speaker, to the city of Fairbanks, $1,109,000. It's an awful lot of money, Mr. Speaker, that those municipalities could use to provide basic services. And because we're going back on a commitment in the statute that we've made in the statute, that money won't be available to them. Also, Mr. Speaker, I would like to point out, if I can find my information here, the finance chairman says that we've been telling municipalities they're going to have a stable level of funding for municipal assistance and revenue sharing. A stable level of funding. Speaker, I don't know what stable means to him, but this level of funding for municipal assistance isn't stable. It's a decline. It's a decrease. Not an actual dollar, not if you want to just take the actual dollar amount, but you're not considering inflation, population increase, or anything else that's happened in this state. For example, Mr. Speaker, in fiscal year 82, the statewide appropriation for municipal assistance was $87,900,000. Fiscal year 83, it was cut back to $71,300,000. Fiscal year 84, $70,500,000. And this year, fiscal year 85, we're again proposing $70,500,000. So since fiscal year 82, Mr. Speaker, we've decreased by $17 million for municipal assistance. We're not giving any increase over last year's appropriation. That's not stable. Speaker, stable only in one way. It's stable in a downswing. We're decreasing the amount of money municipalities have to operate their state governments, the amount of money they're receiving from the legislature. Mr. Speaker, I think that those of you who come from the largest city in this state might want to very seriously consider the impact it's going to have on that city when you're telling them there's $9.5 million they're entitled to that they're not going to get.
Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, just to respond to my good friend from Kotzebue here, basically everything he's saying is true. But the point I want to make here, and this, when we had passed the municipal assistance funding at 30% in 1982, to me, this is a moral obligation. We told the local governments we're going to go ahead and have 30% figure for you folks, and to me, we have to fulfill that obligation. Now, if we don't like the amount of money we're appropriating, and if you want to appropriate the $70 million and not the 90, then change the law from 30% to 23%. But if we're trying to save some money for the state, don't do it this way. Change the statutes. I mean, we created the statutes ourselves. Second thing I want to mention here, Mr. Speaker, is that I want to emphasize again that the Anchorage Caucus in Resolution Number 3 had unanimously adopted this a full funding of municipal assistance and revenue sharing. And I'll just repeat the final resolve clause. This is be resolved by the members of the Anchorage Caucus of the State Legislature that the Senate Finance and the House Finance Committees are requested to fully fund the Revenue Sharing Program and the Municipal Assistance Program for FY85 as a top priority within available revenues. Mr. Speaker, to me that's pretty clear.
Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One of the items that should be noted when we pass this particular piece of legislation, we need to go back and look at total revenues that the state government acquired. If we look at FY80, the state income at that particular time was $2.7 billion. FY81 was 3.9. FY82 was 4.3. This is the time that we looked at this piece of legislation. Starting with FY83, the revenues start going down to 3.8. FY84 and FY85, it's going to be in the neighborhood approximately $3.4 billion. We passed this piece of legislation when the revenues were high, and it looked like they would go even higher. But at least we had the good sense to say may in there. We may appropriate up to that particular level. This is not the case anymore with revenues. We need to take a responsible look at municipal assistance and place the amount of money we have. Millage rates have already been set for municipality budgets for this year. The largest, if there's anybody here, say the largest community in Alaska is going to have increase in property taxes, that is incorrect. I urge members to vote against this one.
Representative Locker.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Let's clarify something. Number one, property taxes are not paid all over the state, Mr. Speaker. Property taxes are paid in the boroughs and cities of the state to support schools and other programs. Programs where the local government has taken over from the state a large percentage of the services that are given by the state in rural communities where there are no local governments. So we are talking about a rather select group of people when we talk about increasing property taxes. We are not talking about all Alaskans at all. And the Constitution is very clear when it says that there will be cities and there will be boroughs. And to further increase, to make larger the state budget and then reduce accordingly the local government assistance does not seem right, nor does it seem moral. It cannot be justified, Mr. Speaker. And when we talk about diminishing revenues, we're not saying we want a larger percentage because the revenues are diminishing. We are saying that we want what is equal or greater to 30%. That is in the law. There's no justification for state government increasing their budgets and expecting to gain that increase at the cost of local government.
Representative Wente.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would have some inquiries to the maker of the motion and understand, particularly in regard to the support of the Anchorage Caucus, because I'm always have my ears open waiting for the recommendations of that caucus. And I did have the opportunity a couple of weeks ago when budgets were the prime topic of that caucus to stand in and listen to portions of it. And clearly it was the members of the Anchorage Caucus were stumbling all over themselves to come out in favor of supporting the recommendations of their assembly, of supporting the recommendations of their mayor, of standing by the, in this situation, capital appropriations. And I think we're all aware of the discussions that took place during a couple of weeks of honoring the requests coming from our municipal officials, and particularly for that group, the Anchorage officials. I think we all recognize that the more money, the billions of dollars that we pump into capital requests increase the cost for our municipalities. It's the same thing for convention facilities. It's the same for sports facilities. It's the same for museums. So I guess what we're saying now is that while it's good to press the arguments that took place over that two-week period on pressing the meeting the requests of the municipalities for capital, the headlines, I assume, that go with that. When it comes to funding the operations and providing the assistance which a state has created through our capital budget process, that we are going to tell the voters and the property taxpayers of our communities, fine, we put the concrete out there, now you foot the bill, which is appropriate if that's what those are the requests they're having. But at the same time, we make a commitment, and I don't think anybody can argue to the extent that even though we say may, and we are saying may because we can't say shall due to constitutional restrictions, that we are making a moral commitment as opposed to a legal binding commitment to honor that funding level. Now, I would note that the 17 members of the Anchorage Caucus, if, and that's my inquiry, if it is in fact unanimous, stated that they supported full funding. And I can assume that if they've stated that, and I'm sure their commitments in passing resolutions are this, are not for show, but showing where their votes are going to follow and that they're going to stand by the resolutions and the commitments that they are making to their assembly and to their mayor, and most importantly, to the voters and taxpayers of our communities and in this situation, Anchorage, that they're going to vote for this amendment. I'm told by the Vice Chairman of the Finance Committee that the Senate has honored the figure that is in the amendment, the $90 million figure. So it would appear that the Senate members of the Anchorage Caucus have honored this resolution. And I can only assume and fully expect when the lights are pushed, or the buttons are pushed and those lights light up, that the Anchorage members, the 17 members of the House of Representatives elected from Anchorage area districts, will honor their commitment, will honor their resolution, and will support this amendment.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I believe that when the representative from the Eagle River area read the resolution passed by the Anchorage Caucus, he said, and the last portion of that, with inavailable funds. Mr. Speaker, the community of Anchorage, lest anyone forget and lest others think they speak for the total community of Anchorage, voted to pass, in fact, just as the state did, a spending limit. And they wish the cost of government to be held down. And the gentleman from Ketchikan, he spoke about funding capital projects. Mr. Speaker, I think that it is worth noting at this time that every time we fund a road, we fund a school, we fund a water and sewer project, we are, in fact, holding down property taxes on the local level. We are, in fact, causing the people of those communities not to have to bond for those projects or to debt themselves in any other way, because we are, in fact, at the state level, picking up the tab for those projects, and the people of those communities thus don't have to pay for them. Mr. Speaker, it is fine to stand on this floor and say that, and speak particularly to the Anchorage Caucus, since we are the largest caucus in the state. And I believe that the resolution that we passed was passed in good faith, and within available revenues we've tried to accomplish that which the resolution called for. But beyond that, we cannot give grants to our communities for social programs. We cannot continue to fund a higher and higher cost of daycare, higher and higher cost of alcohol and drug abuse programs that would have to be picked up by the municipalities if we did not, thus again resulting in higher taxes. So I believe that the finance chairman's presentation has been accurate and to the point, and it clearly shows that we are being responsible under the spending limit of the state and under the spending limit of the municipality of Anchorage.
Representative Miller.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to speak on several points. First of all, when the majority leader says that the people of Anchorage wish the cost of government to be held down, Mr. Speaker, I think more accurately they wish the cost of taxes to be held down. And what you're going to have now if we fail to adopt this amendment, what we're going to have now is a situation where there's no alternative for the people of Anchorage but to sustain reductions in services because of their spending limit they passed. They can't raise the taxes, so therefore, if there isn't enough money to fund needed services are going to have to be cut. Mr. Speaker, the reason I rose originally was to correct a statement made by the finance chairman, who I know did not mean to mislead us, but I think a little correction is necessary. He said we had the good sense to use the word may. Mr. Speaker, we didn't have the good sense to use the word may. We had absolutely no alternative but to use the word may because, as you know, and he knows, and everybody knows, we cannot dedicate funds. The strongest thing we could do to use was may. But as a matter of fact, Mr. Speaker, in this particular category, municipal assistance, and this is why I think it is really morally unjust for us not to adopt this amendment, the taxes that were replaced when we put the current municipal assistance fund in were mandatory taxes that had grandfather rights predating the Constitution, for instance, the Alaska Gross Business Tax. And those taxes, because they had grandfather rights that predated the statehood constitution, were mandatory. So if there is any tax or any assistance on the books that we should be funding 100%, this is absolutely that category because we took something away from the municipalities that they had. They had a grandfathered in, mandated municipal assistance fund. We zapped that fund. We abolished the gross business tax, probably for good reason, and we made the commitment that we would replace those taxes with, you know, with a guaranteed number of dollars and a guaranteed percentage. The ink is hardly dry, Mr. Speaker, on that document before we started defaulting on that promise. But nevertheless, that's what we've done consistently since. That's what we're doing right now, and it is absolutely wrong. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wanted to respond to the to both the Majority Leader and the Finance Chairman's comments about available revenues. Speaker, I was just waiting for the statement to be made from the Anchorage Caucus relating concerning their resolution and the bottom line of that that says within available revenues, and that was going to be the escape clause, and they're going to justify a vote against that based on that clause. Mr. Speaker, the revenues are available. And let's don't kid ourselves or anybody else. The revenues are available. The finance chairman said that when we started increasing municipal assistance, we had $4.3 million in revenues that year. Well, that is higher than we've got this year. We've got 3.4 coming in, but available for appropriation this year is about $4 billion. The latest estimates show we have $4 billion available for appropriation. The revenues are available. It's just a matter of whether you want to fund what we're committed to funding, or whether you want to continue to put money into increasing capital budgets. It wasn't mentioned on the floor that while we're decreasing municipal assistance and aid to local municipalities, we're continually increasing at great leaps and bounds capital projects, capital budgets that we're funding. Mr. Speaker, the money's there. In fact, just about 3 weeks ago, the gentleman on the third floor made plenty of room for you to fund this additional money for municipal assistance. That room was made available. $215 million was sent back. What was the reaction? The reaction was to send it back again in the same projects. Instead of taking a responsible look at what really should be funded, that being the municipal assistance program. Speaker, we got $3.9 million, almost $4 billion available for appropriation this year. We've got right now about $945 million sitting on the governor's desk, either signed into law or sitting on his desk in capital bills, capital budgets, and probably a whole lot more coming, plus a whole lot of other things we're going to do. But what is one of our major commitments in statute, we're not going to do. So, Mr. Speaker, the Anchorage Caucus should not, the Majority Leader should not try to sell the idea of voting against this amendment on the fact that there's not available revenues. There are available revenues. The money is there. The question is, do you want to live up to your commitment? Do you want to help your municipality? Do you want to help provide basic needs and services to that municipality? Or do you want to see programs cut? Or do you want to see property taxes raised? That's the question, Mr. Speaker, and when you vote no on this amendment, you're sending a message back home to your constituents that you don't want to see some programs funded in that municipality, and if they are funded, you want them to pay for it out of their pocket when you're sitting here with $4 billion in yours. That's the message, Mr. Speaker.
Question. Representative Phillips.
Speaker, I'll make it short. To answer the question from the representative from Ketchikan, this resolution passed, there's 27 members of the Anchorage caucus. This resolution passed 24 to nothing with three absent.
Question. Are you ready for the question?
Yeah, well, I'll go to that.
Question is, shall the House adopt amendment number one to the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 511? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Representative Lindar? Clerk, please any other member wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
16 yeas, 22 nays.
House has failed to adopt amendment number one. Clerk, please read the next amendment.
Amendment number two by Phillips and Locker. And it starts page 49, line 13. It has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk.
Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for adoption of amendment number two.
Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, basically, we're back to where we were on amendment number one. I'll just explain just how it relates, at least within the municipality of Anchorage. Here again, the Assembly and the Anchorage Caucus had passed a resolution supporting full funding of revenue sharing. Right now, under state law, it's $2,500 per mile for road maintenance. But the funding that we gave to our local government, to our city, was approximately $1,700 per mile. And Mr. Speaker, this is a vital issue, at least to my constituents, particularly in Eagle River, and I know also on the other side of the mountain over in Girdwood and the hillside area, that we do need this money to maintain our roads, particularly in the wintertime. And as you know, Mr. Speaker, we had quite a bit of snowfall, and some of our communities and neighborhoods within the municipality of Anchorage ran out of money, simply because this was not fully funded.
Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I oppose the amendment. The House has adopted the governor's amendment number there of $57.8 million. And what we'd like to do is work with the governor, which has appointed a task force to examine state sharing revenues. This was at the recommendation of the Municipal League. The first meeting of this task force will take place in 2 weeks, and it's premature for legislators to make any significant changes before they get the recommendations from this particular group. And we support the governor's number on this and oppose this amendment.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May we have a brief at ease?
The House, please stand at ease. Mr. Martin.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For the representative from Eagle River, I kind of know how he feels since I used to represent that area. But you see, therein lies the paradox. These are a lot of rich people up in Eagle River, a lot of very rich people that want to get away from the slums of Mountain View and Muldoon that I represent. They want to get up in the hills in their exclusive areas. They want government off their backs. They want to quit paying for government services. Yet no sooner they get out there in their exclusive neighborhoods and up in the hills that are awful hard to get up to. As poor folks, we can walk up there because we're used to exercising. The rich folks, they want their landing zones up there and they want their extra vehicles to get up there. And then all of a sudden, they want this city to come in and provide services for them. They want these special private roads to go up there. Then we put them up there for them, then want us to maintain them. They don't want to pay any taxes for them. And then, lo and behold, they want school buses to go up in those areas, too, to pick up those kids, because mom is tired of going down each morning to meet the bus. But then they'll get in arguments with the school board. We don't want you using our private roads. We don't want you to use our driveways to turn the school bus around. Government, get off my back. And then they'll come right around and ask for more and more millions. So we have enough money in the city of Anchorage for road maintenance. It's just that those people that keep on spreading out and get into these exclusive neighborhoods want their roads cleared first. I say they should buy a four-wheel vehicle or buy their own little scraper and clean their own roads.
Representative Furnish?
Speak, could we have a brief at ease?
House, please stand at ease. Locker?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to clarify the previous speaker's statements, I'd like to tell you about the poor folks in Mat-Su. First of all, we don't move up on mountains and then expect the government to deliver roads, school buses, and all those really terrific things that no one really needs to have to live in this state. We're just talking about the fact that we have promised $2,500 per mile as an aid for these roads, Mr. Speaker, and we are short funding. We're just asking for $2.5 million so that we can fully fund this fund that provides more than money to keep up roads. It provides volunteer fire departments in unorganized boroughs, native village governments in unincorporated communities get some of this money, hospital construction. Mr. Speaker, we're just asking for this legislature to live up to promises that it has made. It's a very small sum, $2.5 million, just a fraction of what each majority member here got in capital projects, a little more than minority members got to fully fund something that's been on the books for years. We're not asking for any glorious thing that everyone's not entitled to. What is it that government does for its people if it doesn't run school buses and doesn't improve roads? Where I come from, if you don't do that, you're not government to those people. That's what they want from you. They're not asking for gravy, just potatoes.
Representative Phillips?
Speaker, I don't want to let this go by. For the other members in around the state, my district is not exactly the most wealthiest on a per capita basis. In fact, it's basically a middle class, working class type of district. And most of them commute into Anchorage to work or work on the slope or various construction jobs around the state. Now, as far as paying for the services, and I want to put this for the record, those constituents of mine in Eagle River in the last 10 years, since 74, have voted themselves to tax themselves for the following services: police, roads, and parks and rec. Now, that all showed up on the ballot, and they indeed have voted to vote either to tax or increase their own property taxes to obtain these services or to upgrade the services. So I don't want to let that go by.
House, please stand at ease. Furnish, do you wish the floor? Representative Pessinger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think it's always a good idea to look for ways to improve the existing system. And since the hillside area was mentioned, I'm very pleased with what we were able to do in the limited road service areas. We were able to put in approximately $1 million for road maintenance at Stade. It's sort of a new concept, it's new funding, and it's working. Also, we're looking at a new Senate bill that's coming over for road service maintenance areas, which again is a new concept to take care of roads. And when we deal with these new concepts that are an intelligent manner for people to maintain their own roads and where we put the money in their hands so that they can make these improvements, I think we also have to look at some of these existing older programs with more of a jaundiced eye as we bring them up to what is current and what works. So I would speak against the amendment.
Representative Phillips.
this will be the last time, Mr. Speaker. The road powers within my district has worked out very well, and I might suggest that maybe the representative from Hillside and I get together right after this meeting here, and I'll tell them how it's done.
Are you ready with the question? Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment number 2 to the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 511? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
13 yeas, 23 nays.
House has failed to adopt Amendment number 2. Will the clerk please read the next amendment?
Amendment number 3 by Phillips and Locker. It starts page 57, line 13. It has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk.
Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, I ask for unanimous consent for the adoption of amendment number 3.
There is objection. Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, I'm not asking to cut or add any monies with this amendment. All it is rearranging it. The amendment allows $325,000 to go to the leadership of both this body and the other body. The remaining monies is transferred, and if you notice, it's from $4 million down to $6 million. The remaining monies go to Legislative Council, and that, to me, is the proper place where the money should be appropriated by a vote of Legislative Council, 8 votes, I might add, to the interim committees and other activities of the legislature during the interim between sessions. Now, in the history of this funding, legislative funding, in 1977, the leadership funds were about $182,000. And then it approximately doubled in 1970 to $350,000. And then in 1981, again, almost doubled to $640,000. Then in 82, it was increased from $640,000 to $5.125 million. Mr. Speaker, I believe that this is a bad public policy to leave anywhere from $3.5 to $5 million at the discretion of one or two or three people of the legislature. Instead, I think a portion of the money should be given rightfully to the leadership for their activities, and there are activities that need to be funded, and I'm not denying that. The other money should go to Legislative Council. There's 14 members, all the respective parties and minorities and majorities and coalitions and whatever you have are represented on that council, and they can truly delegate in a fair manner where the monies go.
Representative Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I hate to do this, but I think I'll call the House. I'm going to call on this amendment and the bill.
Call has been placed on the House. Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I oppose the amendment. I think the funds presently in the legislative leadership funds is sufficient to and necessary to carry our responsibilities and duties of the legislature, not only to the legislature but our constituents and the public. And I think that these particular funds are accountable, and I oppose this amendment.
Representative Locker.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I disagree with the chairman of finance. I do not believe that these funds are accountable. During the interim, I was a recipient of what can happen when funds are not appropriated publicly, and I would like to see these funds discussed in a public forum, and that would happen if the committee had to meet in order to appropriate them, Mr. Speaker. And it would appear that contrary to the intent of at least the chairman of finance, while monies have been reduced, or at least percentage of money is reduced to municipalities, this apparently is one fund that has grown tremendously in the last few years.
Are you ready for the question? Call has been satisfied. Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 3 to the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 511? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
15 yeas, 23 nays.
House has failed to adopt Amendment Number 3. Will the clerk please read the next amendment?
Amendment Number 4 by Duncan, Clarkson, Davis, Flood, Gall, Larson, Malone, M.M. Miller, Vasca, Wente, and Jaroff. And it starts page 12, line 23. It has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk.
Representative Duncan.
Mr. Speaker, the amendment's just now being handed out, but I think I'll go ahead and move it. I move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
There is objection. Representative Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The amendment is being distributed now to members' desks. What the amendment would do is raise the foundation funding for education from the $486,645,200 level that's presently in the bill to $492,606,900. Mr. Speaker, of all the amendments that's been offered, they've all been good amendments. This one here, Mr. Speaker, is probably the biggest, one of the biggest problem areas that this budget has. And the reason for that, Mr. Speaker, is that we're going back on a commitment that we made just 1 year ago. When you're talking about the ink not being dry on commitments, the pen hasn't been put away yet on this one, Mr. Speaker. It was signed into law a year ago. The commitment was there to fund education programs at a certain level, and we're already breaking that commitment. Mr. Speaker, the statute says, and I'll read from it, that education funding should be change to reflect the changes in the Consumer Price Index for all urban consumers for the Anchorage metropolitan area compiled by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Shall be. The word is shall in this case, Mr. Speaker. And that change is 5.39%. Mr. Speaker, the level of funding that's in the House bill reflects about 4%. So already we're going back on a commitment that was made, a commitment that was made just 1 year ago. Mr. Speaker, this amendment is even more important. It's even more important we adopt this amendment when we consider what we did on Amendment Number 1 and Number 2. We failed to pass on to the municipalities about $23 million by not adopting those two amendments, by not adopting the increase in municipal assistance and revenue sharing, so they're not going to get that money. And now we're telling them, despite the fact we made a commitment to you last year, we're going to give you another shortfall. This time it's going to be in the neighborhood of $8.7 million, $8.9 million, Mr. Speaker. So you add that up all together, and there's going to be about $30, $31 million that you should have gotten that we're not going to give to you. So we caused a serious problem by defeating the first two amendments. We're compounding that problem by taking another $8.9 million away from them. Well, Mr. Speaker, we all know that education costs money, and if we're going to provide quality education, you're going to have to fund it at a level that you can do that. The argument will probably come, well, why don't the municipalities take up a bigger load? We've been providing a lot of funding over the last years. Why don't they increase their local share? Mr. Speaker, the municipalities have been increasing their local share. They've been increasing it quite dramatically. Let me just give you some examples of what's being done this year by municipalities around the state. For example, the city of Ketchikan. Mr. Speaker, in fiscal year 84, their local support was $3.7 million. For fiscal year 85, $4.2 million, a 12% increase. And they're next to Lowell, Mr. Speaker, as we look at these municipalities. Kodiak, they've had an increase from $1.3 million to $1.4 million of local participation, a 6% increase, and that's on the low side. And from there, it gets very high. Juneau has increased from $5.2 million to $6.8 million, a 32% increase in local participation. That local participation, Mr. Speaker, that increase comes about either through increased property taxes or by taking money from other services that should be provided and putting it into education so we can provide quality education programs. Fairbanks, Mr. Speaker, also a 32% increase in the amount that local government is giving to education programs. Anchorage, where the majority of this body comes from, Mr. Speaker, 34% increase. In fiscal year 1984, Anchorage provided $40 million for education, local money. Fiscal year 1985, almost $54 million, Mr. Speaker, a 34% increase. And in Mat-Su, where we know, Mr. Speaker, there's been a tremendous increase in population, tremendous growth factor there. Mr. Speaker, the level of local funding in the Mat-Su area has increased by 62%, from $8.9 million to $14.5 million, 62%. So, Mr. Speaker, it's clear to me and to anyone who's listened to these figures and looked at them and considered that local municipalities around the state are increasing their share of funding to education, and they're doing it quite dramatically. Mr. Speaker, they're showing the commitment. They want to provide quality education to their young people, and they're willing to tax themselves to do that. On the other hand, Mr. Speaker, we in the legislature have time after time gone back on our commitment to hold up our end. Last year, Mr. Speaker, we gave them $431 million when they really needed $448 million. We funded at a 92% level last year, and we did that under the guise of saying, well, the formula program isn't any good. We're going to repeal all that, and we're going to put in a good program, an ADM program, and by golly, that will give them enough money, and we'll live up to that commitment, and we'll fund them at a proper level. So last year, that was the argument that was used, and we repealed the old program and gave them 92% of what they should have had, put in the new program. As I said, the governor hardly has the pen in his pocket, and we've gone back on another commitment. We said in the legislation that we shall change, shall be adjusted, the funding shall be adjusted to reflect the change in consumer price index for the urban consumers in Anchorage, and that's 5.39%, and we're giving them 4%. We're short funding them by $8.9 million, Mr. Speaker. That's a real injustice. That's a real injustice. When we sat here and we passed capital budget bills of $1 billion, we spend money on every other thing we can think of, and we can't live up to the commitment that we made last year. And we're telling the young people of this state, your educational programs are going to go down unless your moms and dads dig deeper in their pocket. And we sit down here with $4 billion in our pocket and won't give them the 8.9 extra that they need, deserve, and are entitled to by statute. Mr. Speaker, if we want to do what's right, you vote for this amendment.
Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I oppose this amendment that is offered. We believe that the House has funded all the estimated enrollment increase of $12.4 million. We allowed a 4% adjustment of 18.6 over the FY84 authorized. The 4% CPI adjustment was contained in the original version of the governor's FY85 budget. We did not receive the governor's amended budget until mid-March. By state law, school boards must have submitted their budget to city councils by April 1st. City councils then have 30 days to act on district budgets and to set municipal millage rates. To date, almost all municipal budgets for education has assumed a 4% CPI adjustment in state funding, and millage rates have been set accordingly. If the legislature now increases CPI adjustment, there will not be correspondence drop in millage rates. What will happen is that school districts will simply have more funds available than they have now anticipated and will use these funds for programs that was not in their original budgets. They mentioned shortfall. There is no shortfall. The City of Anchorage School District had 7.4 fund balance last year. The City of Juneau has an estimated fund balance left over between the amount of 500 to 900,000 this coming year. There is no shortfall. There is no injustice to education. The children of our state will still be educated at a high level. The speaker from my friend from Juneau says there is $4 billion is available to appropriate. What he failed to mention, there is 3.4 of state funds. The other balance of that is other funds, such as federal funds, that has already been dedicated for certain programs. This overall budget that we have in education contains a 10.3% increase in K through 12 programs compared to FY84. We can debate the merits of the bill. We do have Senate Bill 519 currently in House Finance that will be amended to specify a 4% increase. We would like to look at also the money that we had put out, $400,000 for an ADM study that is presently, which will show us the level of funding that we need for the future. You know, this 4% is much higher than the other body has funded it at 2.5%. And we respectfully hope that the 4% would stay in the budget as it is sufficient to give good quality education throughout the state of Alaska. It won't be one which will supply between 7 to 10 members of REAs to come into Juneau with their excess money to send some of their superintendents down to take sabbatical leave at $120,000 to go outside the state of Alaska, which goes on today, and the abuse of educational funds. We believe that the funding level of an estimated $56 million over last year is sufficient for good quality education in our state. I oppose this amendment.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, in the absence of the passage of this amendment, I think the coalition that you represent ought to be ashamed of the budget that we've got here, for the simple reason that this very body made a commitment last year to fund the CPI increase and population increase. The very people who voted for that new formula, for that new method of funding education, are the very people who are breaking that formula, who are underfunding that formula, who are cutting back on that formula that they themselves voted for. Mr. Speaker, if I wanted to right now, I could, under the rules, pick up last year's committee report on that bill and read the names of the do-pass recommendations which call for the CPI full funding. Mr. Speaker, if I wanted to, under the rules of this body, I could read the roll call of those of you who voted for this bill that established the formula. Some people on some occasion say one legislature can't be held accountable for the actions of another legislature. Mr. Speaker, this is the same legislature that set up a formula for funding education. The same 39 people that are in this body right now, a majority of those people voted for the formula that we're already disabusing, that we're already short funding, that we're already reneging on. Mr. Speaker, this is just flat wrong. It's breaking a promise to the people of this state, and it's just flat wrong.
Representative Locker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Chairman of Finance has told us about some abuses that concern many of the people in this body, and I do know that the Chairman of Health and Social Services has been working on that problem. But those abuses, Mr. Speaker, are in areas where the people are not accountable to their electorate, because that money comes from the state, Mr. Speaker, and there's no taxation. What you are saying here, if you say no to this amendment, is increase your taxes, organized areas, and take a larger share of the support for schools. A larger share, when in fact the support of schools or the education of children in the state of Alaska is the responsibility of the state. It is in the Constitution of the state of Alaska that it is our responsibility. And again, I don't wish to sound divisive, Mr. Speaker, but when you talk about increasing taxes, you are not talking about all Alaskans or the education of all Alaskans. You are talking about people who live in organized areas that have accepted under the Constitution partial responsibility for the education of their children, and you are telling them to either reduce your school budgets or increase your taxes. And if, in fact, budgets have been accepted, in my community they have not as yet. They're still struggling. They're reducing the school budget by eliminating programs in order to make it palatable to the taxpayers in the community. If, in fact, there are communities that have already accepted reduced budgets or mill levies have been set at the higher level, that would just mean that if they do have what would be considered by some in this body a windfall and by some of us absolute necessity, they would have monies to reinstate programs and hire more teachers. It is common in the Mat-Su borough to hire new teachers after the first 2 weeks that the new school has started, because we don't have enough money and we don't know how many children we're going to have. And so if we had additional monies, believe you me, we would improve the parent or the teacher pupil ratio in our district.
Representative Flood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't want to talk about shortfalls or taxes going up or going down. I want to talk about kids, because I happen to have a child in the second grade, and I know that the quality of education isn't really truly up to standards, as our finance chairman said. When you have 40 kids in a second grade class, they're not learning a whole heck of a lot. It's just too crowded for them. And when they're worrying about ceiling tiles falling on their heads, it's a little distracting. There is a shortfall. And education is something that we should all be champions of. I mean, as parents, we should understand that a quality education is something that's needed for the greatest resource we have in this state, and that's our kids. So let's start thinking about them instead of politics for a change. Let's fund it where we said we were going to fund it. And we're only talking about $8.9 million. Let's do it. For a change, let's do it and do it right. Thank you.
Representative Winty.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I did not vote to make that commitment last year. I opposed that bill because I portrayed that bill, at least in my mind, as a withdrawal from support of education by the state. We compromised that commitment that has been a long-standing commitment for the role of the state in funding education in this state. I opposed it, so it wasn't my commitment. But nonetheless, this body, the other body, and the governor signed it. And I'm bound by that commitment. And I think the question really is the integrity of the state of Alaska in its relationship with the school boards, with our communities, but most importantly, the commitment to the students of this state. For those of you who voted for that bill, who made that commitment, and in my mind, gave your word that you were going to fund that level, because you said, we shall do it. I sincerely hope that you're going to honor that commitment, and you're going to honor your word to those communities, and most importantly, to the students of this state. I didn't support you on that floor on that bill last year, but you gave your word, and you should stand by it. And in my mind, the integrity of the state government and the relationship it has with its people is at issue here. And at some point in time, the state of Alaska is going to have to stand up and honor the commitments it makes, and I sincerely urge the members of this body to do that in this particular situation, because, as I've stated before, there's no higher priority that we could establish.
Representative Pestinger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, certainly the average daily membership is a very significant issue, but all of us who care about education must always strive to see the big picture. It was my pleasure on Monday to help dedicate a school which we put in over $14.5 million into last year, Jane Mears Junior High. It was a priority of this legislature, of this coalition, and that was a very meaningful ceremony to me to see the ground broken on that school. It will be open in the fall of '85. And representative, the other representative from the Hillside, we're very proud that we have a new junior high opening up this fall of 84, U.S. Henshaw Junior High. So there are many ways that we have to strive to provide a quality education environment. And I think we should all be honest with each other and try to see the big picture when we do this. Thank you.
Representative Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just one final thing. I think it's very nice they're opening up new junior high schools and building new junior highs and nice buildings and everything. The question I'll have in a couple, 3 years is how are you going to staff that school and provide the necessary services when we continually short fund the educational program? There's capital expenses and there's operating expenses. We're talking here about the money to provide the basic services for teacher salaries and for books and for everything else. So that's a good point to be discussed. I did want, not to get in a big argument with the finance chairman here, Mr. Speaker, but I did want to respectfully disagree with him when he said that the figure I'm quoting of $4 billion includes other funds, and I guess federal funds and all that. It doesn't, Mr. Speaker. $4 billion of general funds available for appropriation this year. That includes a $477 million carryover from last year of general fund money, includes the new revenue projections that have just come out from the Department of Revenue, includes $50 million in estimated lapse, which is not very much, and includes repayment of principal on restricted investments. Does not include any other money or federal funds or permanent fund contribution, anything. This is available for appropriation, so don't vote against this amendment because you think the money's not there. It's there. It's just where you want to spend it.
Representative Furnish.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If we turn the clock back approximately 1 year, I think we'll see some of the same arguments last year as we're hearing today. Mr. Speaker, last year under an old administration, that is an old administration in DOE, we were fighting on this floor for a figure of some $448 million to finance education. And I think it's fairly well acknowledged that that administration, particularly the commissioner at that time, was tired, and the whole administration of DOE somewhat reflected that attitude. We have a new commissioner of education now, and I think he's done an admirable job in forecasting and the needs of education in his state. Mr. Speaker, again, we fought for $448 million last year, and this legislature wisely settled at $430 million. And I'm pleased to say that because of the spending patterns within the districts and their ability to conservatively approach their budget process, that in the final analysis, we ended up spending not $430 million, but $426 to $427 million, some $3 to $4 million under what we appropriated. Mr. Speaker, this budget, as has been acknowledged, includes some $56 million more than we put in the budget here last year. The approach this year was to increase enrollment in the urban areas by 4%. Now, if you take a look at the statistic, you'll see that not all schools in the urban areas are experiencing a 4% growth in student body. In the rural areas, in the REAAs, we adjusted the budget by 1.5% for new students. Again, you'll find that not all of those schools indeed had that type of an increase. Mr. Speaker, the variable in this equation, needless to say, is the CIP. And whereas the Anchorage CIP does come in some 5.396%, when you consider the actual rise in cost of education throughout the state, as documented by the current commissioner of DOE, we find that in the budget preparation, that 4%, a 4% allocation for increase for inflation is an adequate amount. Mr. Speaker, I am confident that the $486.6 million that we currently have in this budget is an adequate amount. Perhaps it's unfortunate that not enough members on this floor had an opportunity to sit in on the budget deliberations and setting the DOE budget for education this year. But if you did, you'd find a couple new improvements. Not only should this be an adequate amount of money to finance, but if you look at the budget in other categories, you'll find that the new commissioner has set in motion
a plan of action to have increased accountability of those dollars. I'm confident again, and I would hope that this body would defeat this amendment. I'm confident that the present Commissioner of Education has a good handle on the expenditure patterns of this state. They support the 4% inflation increase. I think this body owe it to that commission to give him a chance to keep his house in order. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Kopanen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I had not intended to speak, and I'm glad to hear from the representative from Anchorage that the new commissioner is doing a splendid job. I feel that he is as well. The issue here is, of course, the impact on the local community, not on the Department of Education statewide. And it is precisely in those areas where we have a delayed impact. They had been assured, as other speakers have mentioned, that they would be funded at a certain level, and the legislature is at this point choosing to cut back on this level. The other speaker from Anchorage mentioned that we were looking at the big picture and supplying the capital and therefore taking up that part of the burden. But as I've said in other circumstances, the capital expenditures are in essence like the toys that we buy for children at Christmas that come batteries not included. We are now currently arguing about the batteries. And I think that if we're going to buy the capital items, we should have the batteries or the maintenance operation and other costs thrown in. Thank you.
Question. Representative Herbert.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to point out one thing here, that we've heard arguments here. Basically, they feel that the more money we add into the budget, the better quality of education you're going to get. And that's not necessarily so. New Hampshire, which has some of the lowest per capita money per student go into their budget, has the highest, close to the highest in the country of educational quality. And some of the states that have some of the highest figures have some of the lowest quality of education. So they don't necessarily mix, that the more money you put into it, the better of education you get. And I see here we got $486 million. It's just a few years ago. Just a few years ago, the whole state budget wasn't that much. $486 million seems like a completely adequate budget. Thank you.
Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Maybe the solution is to divide the state up into New Hampshire-sized districts, but I don't know how many states would get out of that, but I'm sure a lot. Mr. Speaker, I rise in support of Amendment Number 4, which gives the foundation program what I view as its needed amount of money to operate in the next fiscal year. Mr. Speaker, I also think that it's impossible to separate the kinds of other educational projects in this budget before us, and some of them need to be pointed out. And I think some of them need to be pointed out because in the future there may be a problem that many members of your caucus will have to worry about. And I suspect that having to worry about them is beginning now. I wonder about the curriculum development programs that the different school districts throughout the state go through, and whether it's good public policy to put together a special group for a special curriculum. There's not a single educational public policy, there's not a single education policy that this body or the other body is going through in this budget. For instance, on page 16, line 8, Mount Edgecombe Boarding School, $994,000 to maintain a building where no education is taking place. Seems to me that's a little bit extravagant for the state to be paying for the maintenance and operation of a boarding school that doesn't exist and may not exist. We're underfunding the educational programs in this state, and yet we're dedicating $210,000 to the Department of Education as a direct grant to the Black Caucus, Alaska Black Caucus, for Alaska Black Leadership Conference Education Program. That's totally separate from the educational program in the Anchorage area, in the Fairbanks area, or anywhere else. That's not a policy. That's taking it by bits and pieces so that the budget reflects each of us doing something for a specific constituency. And there are many examples in there. Those two examples are just ones that I happen to point out to. Mr. Speaker, when are we going to follow up on a commitment to education? Yes, there are special problems in the state that this legislature needs to address in education. If you go out to the rural areas, if you look at the native students, there's an extremely high dropout rate, not only in the rural areas, but in the urban areas. The dropout rate in your schools in Anchorage of native students is somewhere in the neighborhood of 65%. The complaints of many native parents in Anchorage is that the Anchorage school district does not accommodate native students in terms of understanding where their values are. That's not reflected in this budget, Mr. Speaker. I suspect the school districts are making a good effort to solve that problem, or at least a portion of it. In my dealings with them, I know they are. I know several fine individuals who are working in the Anchorage School District trying to deal with this problem. And yet we're choosing to underfund the education programs. Each of the districts has a curriculum development sector that needs to be funded adequately. That's where the quality of education comes. It shouldn't matter that we segregate out specific programs for segregated groups so that we can take individual claim for each of those programs. And yet that's exactly what we're doing. The reason that may be a problem, Mr. Speaker, is many members of your caucus, especially your Republican caucus, worry about closed societies and what they can offer in the future. Many members of your caucus worry about sovereignty and what it means and what a closed society means. We're not doing anything different now in segregating these budget items and presenting them to the public than we are in recognizing those sovereign entities called IRA councils. I'm glad to see that you're recognizing them in that fashion. As you know, as I know, when the lawyers go to court, they look for precedences where this body, the other body, the state says, yes, in some cases we identify specific groups, even if by race. That's a precedent-setting movement by this body. I'm glad to see that. I hope that this body is consistent in recognizing a political subdivision that chooses to be something other than a municipal government under state charter. That would only be consistent with how this budget is being presented.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Kulpinen.
Sorry for the interruption. I just wish to correct the member who's making you. Having been paid to study various school systems in New England, I would like to point out that New Hampshire by no means leads the nation. Also, constitutionally, it is a state that has no statewide responsibility for education as we do. So you have a wide variance among the districts and the towns in New Hampshire who are responsible for nearly 100% of the funding. Now, of course, state funding for education is very low in a state that has no responsibility for it, unlike the situation here. So I think that it's entirely an ambiguous argument and has no place there. Thank you.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 4, to the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 511. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
15 yeas, 23 nays.
House has failed to pass amendment number 4. Will the House please stand at ease?
Amendment number 5 by Kopanen, Davis, Clarkson, Duncan, Flood, Gall, Larson, Malone, M.M. Miller, Vasca, Wente, and Jaroff. It starts page 55 after line 4, and it has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk.
Representative Miller, would you move the amendment?
Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
Objection. There is objection.
Speaker, I'm sorry, we have a brief at ease?
Yes, thank you.
Will the House please stand at ease? Do you wish to move amendment number 5?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
There is objection, Representative Kopanen.
I cannot understand why. Thank you. This, of course, impacts the university and otherwise the medical and increased benefits that the university has agreed to give its staff. The original item in the proposed budget increased staff benefits would delete it altogether, and combined with other reductions will severely impact the budget. The university estimates that they will need at least $1.7 million more to govern these matters. In fact, I must say that the was originally brought to my attention by the member of your caucus from the university district. That this particular impact had taken place in the program. Hopefully, these funds can be provided. It is not, in fact, a very large amount of money. In fact, it's less than the capital allocation that I, as a member of the minority, had. And had I known that this cut would have been in place, I would have been willing to put this amount of my capital money into the budget, because I believe it is essential for the operation of the university and to allow the university to keep its promises to its staff in regard to staff benefits. And it is also necessary to permit them to maintain the staff that they have currently. The language does allow them to fund these through reallocation, but it means that other programs within the university system will then be impacted adversely. I think that kind of trade-off is unnecessary. I think the backup was adequate, and that we should proceed to pick up this part of the burden of operation of our state university and to maintain the quality of its program. Thank you.
Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I oppose this amendment. The University of Alaska made an error in its calculation on this. This is the